Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is a new week. It's Monday, October the 21st in the year of our Lord 2024. Now, before I forget, because I'm prone to do that, I wanted to let you know that I'm in Georgia, and I've been meeting today with a lot of preachers from the realm. And I'm going to be Tuesday night, tomorrow night, in Savannah at a new Global Methodist church there. And we'll try to get that specific detail in the PS today. But I just wanted to say it before I forgot it. Anyhow, we got good work to do this week, sowing for a great awakening. Let's begin the week with consecration, right? The Lord has lots of transformation to do in us this week. He has lots of demonstration to do through us, but that is going to hinge on our being consecrated unto Him, like alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic, available, attuned, you know, aware, and abiding. Are you ready? Open the door. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And now let's turn on the lights. Jesus, I belong to you. Hear that, Jesus. I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who enfold us, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, To Be Kept for the Generations to Come. Take that, science. Our text is Exodus chapter 16, verses 31 to 36. Hear now the word of the Lord. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law, so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. So I have a question for Moses today. How much is an ephah? Seriously, that last parenthetical bit warms my heart. In the text, in parentheses, it says, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. It tells me this. If Moses could have done it, he would have translated an ephah into pounds or fluid ounces or liters or whatever the measurement of the day and country might be. And suddenly, I remembered the internet. So I Googled it. How much is an omer in today's measurements? I got this. An omer is a unit of measurement in the Bible that is equivalent to about 2.3 liters, 0.61 U.S. gallons in today's measurements. It is also equivalent to the volume of 43.2 chicken eggs, or 1/10 of an ephah. in dry weight, an Omer weighs between 1.56 and 1.77 kilograms, or 3.4 to 3.9 pounds. Thank you, Google. Further, it told me the word Omer is sometimes translated into the word sheaf, and is the amount of grain large enough to be bundled together, as in bringing in the sheaves. Why does all this detail matter? Because this is the stuff of history and not mythology. This is not a once upon a time story, but as Exodus 16:1 reports, this is on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, reality. Faith and religion so readily get filed in the category of spirituality. And spirituality is inherently subjective and mystical and impossible to measure. And things mystical and unmeasurable in time become mythological. And centuries hence, they get cataloged in the warm and fuzzy fairy tale section of the bookstore. Moses is saying this thing that is happening right now, this wonder bread that is miraculously appearing on the desert floor every morning for the next 40 years, this is not that. This is as real gets. It can be measured and preserved and verified and seen with our eyes and touched with our hands. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. That would be us. Moses knew us. He knew we would never believe him if he just said manna mysteriously appeared on the desert floor every morning for 40 years. He knew some of us would immediately spiritualize it and then turn it into some kind of metaphor, while others of us would mythologize it and explain that these ancient people were children of their age and hadn't yet arrived at the scientific revolution, which would explain how everything that couldn't be measured couldn't be proved. He knew us. Hence we get the parenthetical comment, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Take that, scientific method. It is 2.3 liters or 0.61 U.S. gallons or 43.2 chicken eggs or between 1.56 and 1.77 kilograms, which is between 3.4 and 3.9 pounds dry. Here's my big takeaway today. The deliverance we need now is from religion and into reality. We must be delivered from our faith in God as religion and into our faith in God as everyday life, i.e., an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. We must be delivered from our faith in God as subjective spirituality and into our faith in God as concrete reality, evidentiary history. It is not a matter of subjectivity and feeling, but of something that can be measured and put in a jar. As the text says so clearly, kept for the generations to come. It's in that same category that we will later see these words. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That's 1 John 1:1. Let's pray for deliverance today. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Thank you for revealing to us that an omer is 1/10 of an ephah, and that it will almost fit into a half-gallon mason jar. Thank you that the burning bush was a real bush, burning with real fire, and for the real miracle that it was not burning up. Thank you that you don't provide fuzzy feelings of spiritual support, but of concrete bread that fills our empty stomachs and sustains our real lives. We receive your deliverance from a faith that feels like religion, and into a faith that interacts and engages with real life. We receive your deliverance from religion as mythological stories and church as a sociological support group, and into faith as an impenetrable shield, and church as the only order on the face of the earth that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Would you lead us into a way of discipleship and disciple making that is of another order of magnitude from the thin and anemic version we have adopted? It will be for our good, for others' gain, indeed for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Journal prompts today. Have you tended to see faith in the category of subjective spirituality and even self-help philosophy? I mean, after all, that's where we see the Christian books in the bookstore. They're either in the religion section, and the religion section is right next to the self-help section. Guys, we got it backwards. These books should be all over the entire. These books shouldn't be ghettoized in a section. They should be everywhere in the whole bookstore. So what will it take to bring faith out of these categories and back into the realm of hard data and concrete life? How might we help scientists understand that they stand on the shoulders of cosmologists and theologians? And we're going to sing today. You knew it. We're going to sing. It's Monday. We got a great song. It fits so good. It's called This Is My Father's World. It's number 19 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. I grew up singing this song and sung it all my life. Many of you have too. Such a powerful song. Three verses. We'll sing them all momentarily. I think I said it. And I hope you understand me here. I've been pushed back on by some people. They're like, religion, you talk about religion as though it's like a bad thing. And I think you got to understand how I'm talking about it. I don't know. I mean, I just don't even see the Christian faith, the revelation of the Word of God in the same category as like other religions. Like, pick one. Like, is this Christian, you know, there's Islam and there's Hindu religion and there's the Mormon religion and then there's the Christian religion. I just don't even see it like that. I don't see this, what we're talking about, as just like another option, another alternative. This is life. This is the history of the world. This is the true story of God and of human beings. And we're not even on that. We're not even playing in that game. Like, or, you know, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? No, that's not the game we're playing here. We're actually talking about the real world and real people and real life and real bread that God brought out of the heavens and put on the field every day for 40 years. And he said, measure out an omer, put it in a jar, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? I mean, so many of these other world religions, they are mythology. They're made up. This is revealed, written down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And gosh, science was born out of the Christian faith. It was born. The Bible reveals a material universe. All these other religions are they're just telling a mythological story about a spiritual universe. It's not even real. No, the Bible posits matter, and matter is the foundation of science, that something could be measured. And it's crazy how science has been turned into, has been weaponized against faith. It's absurd. I'm a little bit disdainful, but I love science. I mean, science is good. So much good has come from it and comes from it, but it's got to be restored to its place. Science is not the arbiter of truth. Science is actually scientists stand on the shoulders of the cosmologists, who stand on the shoulders of revelation, of theology, of God words. We got to get back. We got to recover. So when I say, you know, deliver us from religion, I'm like, deliver us into reality. And religion has become its own category, and we don't fit a category. We can't be categorized. It's not triumphalism, guys. That's just the truth. All right, we're going to sing. You ready? This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Don't you love that? Rocks and trees and skies and seas, his hands the wonders wrought. Gosh, what a God we serve. I wish we could just had time to break out into like, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I want to put that one on you for the road today. You sing that one. You just go walking through your day singing, our God is an awesome God. You will come on fire like that burning bush, and you will not burn up. Okay? It's Monday, guys. We're off to a good start. Yes, I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.